The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, so Farrell on the bench on a pain-free Friday with Mafia. So, first of all, that the list that I went through before, they had, I think, you know, I said Michael Thomas was 10th. He hasn't played that long, okay? So he's not in that list, as far as I'm concerned, at all. From 2010 until now, he wouldn't even be on the list. So he may be one of the best now, and I won't deny that the guy is, you know, clearly one of the best in the league now. But I'm talking about, you know, the last 10 years, and you look at the numbers, career numbers, nobody can even question Larry Fitzgerald, right? Jason Witten's got massive numbers, over 13,000 yards. Julio Jones, 12,475 yards. Antonio Brown, 11,263 yards. And DeSean Jackson has put up 10,575. Demaryius Thomas, you remember him? 9,763. Nuke Hopkins, 9,203. A.J. Green, 9,122. T.Y. Hilton, 8,800 plus. Greg Olson, 8,500 plus. Emmanuel Sanders, who came down with the COVID today, former Steeler, 8,100 plus. Jimmy Graham, 8,000 plus. Golden Tate, 8,000 plus. Gronkowski, 8,000 plus. The other names, you know, Vernon Davis, Mike Evans is on there. Mike Crabtree, Travis Kelce, OBJ, Julian Edelman, Keenan Allen, Alshon Jeffrey, Randall Cobb, Doug Baldwin, and Jarvis Landry. That's, you know, right now, I thought that list of 25 guys, fair enough, right? But on every list, Antonio Brown is right there. And, you know, he went to the Super Bowl once, but he didn't matter then when he was with the Steelers and they lost to the Packers. But, you know, this guy just got better and better and better after that. And was unstoppable with the Steelers. The guy produced like nobody's business. And that was with Roethlisberger. I can't imagine what this guy's going to do with Tom Brady. We already saw him play with him for 5 minutes with the Patriots and score a touchdown. He had 4 catches and a touchdown and 56 yards in 5 minutes. So I think he's going to light it up. And I think he's going to show everybody up.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you. because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pearl on the Bench. It's good to catch up with Matt Perrault. He does Pushing the Odds. Of course, he does a show on Sports Map. And he's a badass, big Vegas guy, loves action. And I've been on his show before. It's good to have him on the bench tonight. We got to get him on the Coast to Coast TV side, Moff. How you doing there, Matt? How's everything in Sin City?
Things are good, man. Appreciate the invite. Good to hear your voice.
Hey, so... I got to ask you, we've been, you know, I don't know, we've been talking about Antonio Brown for a little while on the show. And I just kind of, you know, I've been through, you know, A to Z on this guy because I certainly, as a Steeler fan, have a history with him. And his talent is notwithstanding. I mean, it's just without question, his ability is rather clear. Everyone knows how good he is, but they also know how crazy he is and what a head case he's been and off the field menace to society. But there's been a lot of guys like that in the NFL, frankly, over the years, tons of them. So I guess my question to you is, what do you think of, obviously Tom Brady played with him for 5 minutes and hooked up with him for a touchdown. Do you feel that Brady thinks he's going to be able to do that a lot more often in Tampa now that he signed with the Bucs? What's your feeling about it?
Well, look, I mean, we saw them play one game in Miami together and they hooked up for a touchdown. Then the Patriots offense looked phenomenal. And then the guy went off the deep end like he does all the time. So, look, I don't know if he's going to be able to figure things out. I don't know if Tony Robbins and the conversation with him fixes all the ill wills, all the issues that Antonio Brown's got. But, I mean, you're putting a guy on the field with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and the fact that they've lost O.J. Howard now. I mean, Gronk has looked good the last couple of weeks in the red zone. But, I mean, that is a ridiculous passing attack that the Tampa Bay Bucs have. And, I mean, I bet they're over 9 wins early, so I love it. So let's see what they do in the regular season, and I prefer to cash that ticket, and that will be fun to see. But, I mean, he is a cancer. I mean, we know this. He rips apart teams. And Brady, for whatever reason, has this strange thing with him, like a little brother or something. I don't know what it is, but he definitely has some type of feeling for this guy, and he wants to bring him along, so he's willing to risk it here and bring him to Tampa and think that the guy's going to stay out of trouble. But I mean, in Florida, it's one of the places where he's gotten into trouble. You're bringing him into a state where he has a history of getting into trouble. So I don't know if this works. I'm intrigued by it. I mean, the talent, like you mentioned, is unmistakable, but it's a risk here for Tampa. But like we've known, they're going for it. So this is just another example of all in on Brady and the Bucks.
Do you think that he understands at any level, finally, that this is his last chance in the NFL, that like Drew Rosenhaus or somebody had to at least, I mean, there's got to be someone on the face of the earth that has gotten through to this guy that, listen, bro, this is your last straw. This is it. I mean, you screw this up, you're finished. So I hope you enjoyed that money you made. Do you think he is smart enough to finally at least, you know, it's like there's been players in the past or coaches even. I thought that Tom Coughlin did it fabulously when he faked that he was cool. Do you remember when he used to be a D and he was coaching? Everybody hated him and he was George Patton and everybody wanted to kill him. Yeah. And then I think Strahan told him one day, listen, bro, you got to stop being a D. And then they won 2 Super Bowls. Yeah. But I don't think he ever changed. I think he faked it. So do you think that Brown can actually be a choir boy for the rest of the year and like fool everybody and not get in trouble?
I think if they win, I think it would be, if he's on the team and he's getting the football and they're winning, then I think it could work. Cause that it was going well in New England until the accusations came out of sexual assault. And then everything kind of went crazy because of the fact that Robert Kraft essentially had to be talked into signing Antonio Brown, and he didn't really want to sign him. It was more Belichick and Brady. And then Robert Kraft called Brady and said, hey, do you want me to sign this guy? And Brady was like, yes, I want you to go sign him. So I think if he's winning and he's getting the football, I think it'll be fine. But if things go south, if there's any adversity, if he doesn't fit in the offense, if he's not getting the football for whatever reason, and let's be frank here, they got a lot of weapons there. You got a lot of mouths to feed there. You got to keep Mike Evans happy. You got to keep Godwin happy. So it's not like he's going to be in there with wide receiver number one. I think if things go well, yeah, I think he can, for a couple of weeks, maybe for even a couple of months, keep himself out of trouble. But if there's any adversity, you're right. I think things just start to crumble and he goes back to being Antonio Brown.
Do you think, Matt Perot with us, do you think that Arians got played here? And do you think, like, cause he doesn't, apparently, you know, you've heard these whispers that he doesn't like using tight ends. And then Brady, you know, threw a TD to Gronk finally last week, whatever. Do you feel that, because I think they should throw to Gronk way more. And I'm a big believer in that guy. You can't argue with what that guy does when you throw him the ball. He catches it and scores touchdowns and throws gigantic spikes into the ground. And people love him, fans, teammates, everybody. The media soaks it up. But Arians doesn't like using tight ends. In God's name, why wouldn't you throw to Gronk and Brown and Evans and Godwin all day? I'd be like, because if they're smart, Matt, they're going to the Super Bowl with this lineup of theirs. If they actually, because I thought, you know, they proved it against Green Bay that they can kick ass in a big game. I think they'll win that division because I think Breeze is going backwards. How do you feel about their chances? And do you think they should? Because they've obviously played Arians. It went right over his head. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think they're going to do whatever Brady wants? Throw to Gronk, throw to Brown, do whatever they want? Or does Arians still have some kind of juice on this team, do you think?
It's a great question, because if you go back to the quote, I think it was in training camp or whatever you want to call that, that they had, it was to Bruce Arians, hey, Antonio Brown's available. Do you think you could go out and sign him? And he said he doesn't fit in our locker room. So he clearly has an opinion on Antonio Brown as to what he does as a person. So there's definitely that angle of like, is the head coach going to be on board here? And it sounds like you just go with a quote. No, it's basically all Tom Brady driving the boat here, driving the bus, because he wants to go to a Super Bowl. I think it's got less to do with the offense and more to do with the defense in terms of where the Bucs will go and how far they'll go. Because look, they're number one in the NFL right now in yards given up per game. Their defensive line's tremendous. It's hard to run on those guys. Their secondary's played really well. And when you're behind, you got to throw on those guys, and the D-line just pins their ear back, and they go after it. I mean, two pick sixes against Rodgers. I think they go as far as that defense takes them. And in today's NFL, I mean, everybody can score. Can you stop anybody? So I like that defense almost as much as the offense in terms of why they may win the division and why they'll be a difficult out coming up in the postseason. And look at the odds on who to win the Super Bowl. It's all over the place. I mean, even the Chiefs are only plus 400. It is so wide open right now that, I mean, we're only into week 7 in the NFL, but I mean, the Bucs have as good of a chance as anybody to win the Super Bowl right now.
What are the bettors, the sharps in Vegas, in terms of that very conversation doing in terms of futures on the Super Bowl? Are people buying the Chiefs at that price? Are they into the Buccaneers with that defense? Are they into the Steelers with their defense and their Roethlisberger offense and all their receivers and running game? Because, I mean, we're going to find out how good they are on Sunday in Nashville. What are the bettors doing in Vegas about the Super Bowl?
I think it's interesting because it's so wide open. You have to still like the Chiefs because, I mean, having Le'Veon Bell is just another weapon for that team. So I think you have to look at the Chiefs, and there's a lot of money coming in on Kansas City. A lot of people like Pittsburgh because of what they are and what their defense looked like. But losing Devin Bush is a really big blow to that defense. So I don't know. I mean, a lot of people really liked them going into the year, and now they're cooling on them a little bit. I mean, the Buffalo Bills were a really hot item here in Vegas early in the year. People kind of cooled on them after what they've looked like. The Saints were a really big hit early with a lot of money coming in on New Orleans. And then obviously Drew Brees on offense. Michael Thomas is out for this week, and so is Emmanuel Sanders. So it's just really wide open. There's not really a clear-cut favorite right now, and there's money all over the board. I mean, people are taking the plus money on all sorts of flyers. I mean, you can't hit a bet on the Titans right now. I mean, you can get Titans 11-1, 12-1 right now with the way they're running the football and the way that Ryan Tannehill is playing. So, and we'll find out a lot about them, obviously, on Sunday. But it's a really interesting season because we don't have even the Ravens. You know, the Ravens are supposed to be that team that we're going to compete, but, I mean, they're just not throwing the football well enough at all right now.
So I got to we're going to break. I'm going to come back and go over a bunch of games with you. I want to talk about a lot of these games. But in like 10 seconds, who do you like in that Steeler-Titan game? Because I'm running against it right now. Who do you like in that game?
I'm on the other side of everybody. I like the Titans personally because of Devin Bush being out and Ryan Tannehill completing passes for more than 10 yards.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, and I'm a Steeler fan, but I don't bet with my heart. I like the Titans, although I want the Steelers to win. I think it's going to be a hell of a game, and one of them's not going to be undefeated anymore. We'll be right back.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Talking to Matt Perrault from Sports Map on the bench, and he's in Vegas. Let me ask you, first of all, do you really teach at UNLV? What's that all about? That's pretty cool.
Sorry, I lost you there. What'd you say?
I said, do you really teach at UNLV? I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I just started teaching an audio class for journalism students this year. So it's been a kind of a bucket list thing I've always wanted to do. So I got 23 kids in my class, and it wasn't how I thought I'd start it with remote learning and learning over teaching over Zoom. But it's been a fun semester so far.
So what is that all about? Like, how does that work? Like, what? Tell me what the class is about.
Sure. So it's for kids who are looking to go into the media, who want to be more proficient on the microphone. So they have like a four-tier system where you basically get better on the mic and get more acclimated to broadcasting and podcasting and being on television and radio. And UNLV's got this incredible School of Broadcasting and School of Journalism that they have on campus. So like my class is the first level of the 200. So a bunch of sophomores and juniors, it's basically audio announcing is what the class is called. So I teach the kids to be proficient on the microphone. And then from there, they go up and work on actually the content. But so my job is to get them to be able to speak and be comfortable and confident on the microphone. So we do a lot of technique work. We do a lot of practices, a lot of repetitions, to get themselves more comfortable. So it's been unique. It's my first time ever teaching a course like this. So it's been a lot of fun.
Well, that's awesome. I think that's really cool. So you just started doing it. Are you digging it? Do you like it? Is it something that you're like, wow, yeah, this is something invigorating in my life? Something I think it's great. It's weird because I'll tell you the story. This is nothing compared to what you're doing, but I think that's something to be really proud of. I'm really impressed. Is that like last night, Mafia was like calling me and I was in the middle of something. I was doing a workshop at Indiana University where I went to school, and it was for this fraternity that I was in. I was a Phi Psi when I was in college 35 right. years ago or whatever. And so they had a workshop for all these 100, Phi Psi kids that are interested in getting into sports and sports management, sports broadcasting, sports television, sports radio, sports writing, anything, management, front office, all that. And so obviously with my background and everything, they wanted me to speak. So I went and did this class or whatever you want to call it. I was the speaker, and it was pretty cool because they're all a bunch of kids and I'm sitting there telling them all these stories of, you know, what I've done and of the things that I do now and what I did in the past and how crazy I was when I was in the Phi Psi house. I was a drunk and I partied. I hazed students. I was awful. I was the devil. But it was really cool actually talking to them, and they were asking me all these questions about what I've been to and what was my favorite and this and that. And it was fulfilling for me to give back and to do something when no one would think that, I guess, probably that I would do that. Because when they first reached out to me, the guy was like, I'm sure you probably don't have time. And I was like, actually, I'll do it. So how gratifying has it been for you in your life to do that? I know you're a dad and everything else, and I think it's really cool and show some stones to go try new things and do something different and give back. I think you're doing that, and I think it's something to be really proud of. Do you get off doing it? Do you like it?
Yeah, I'm 43. So when I turned 40, I had a couple of health scares, and I started to change kind of the way that I was approaching life. And then I read a book by a guy named David Goggins, who is just an incredible ex-Marine, Navy SEAL. And this dude does everything. He's been on the Joe Rogan podcast. And so his book really started to change my mind about being the dumbest person in the room and being willing to accept that, to be the dumbest person in the room, like being willing to actually feel that way. And so I trained for 18 months to be a boxer. And so I was being taught by Stefan Bonner here in Vegas. And one of the beautiful things about Vegas is that you get to experience all these amazing people who are in the combat sports world. So he was my boxing trainer. So I trained for 18 months, and then the pandemic hit and shut everything down. So boxing's not allowed. You can't box, you can't train, you can't spar, you can't do anything. So it kind of sucked. So the next thing was, I was approached by UNLV, and they're like, hey, you ever think about teaching? You ever think about, you know, becoming a teacher and coming in here and, you know, like lending yourself to students? And I was like, sure. I was like, I've never done it before. And they're like, that's fine. Don't worry about it. We'll walk you through it and we'll help you. So I've been pretty, really honest with my students. And I've told them that, like, guys, you know, if this sucks, tell me. Like, if I'm awful, tell me. Like, if I need help, if you're bored, if this doesn't work for you, if this isn't fun. So I've had a really good open relationship and conversation with all my students about, like, what they are trying to get out of it, because they're paying it, for goodness sakes. So I want to teach to what they want, and yet I want to teach them the stuff that they need to learn. So, like, it's been really fun to, like, watch them grab onto things and watch them get better. I mean, I think the most rewarding thing is to have a kid who really is shy and then become more proficient and more comfortable speaking. So that's been, over the course of 2.5 months, that's been probably the most rewarding thing, is like watching and listening to these students get better, just because they're getting repetitions, and young people are like sponges and they get better so quickly that you teach them two things and all of a sudden they run with it. So that's been the coolest thing about it, is just watching them improve.
That's great. You know, Mafia and I, you know, I box. So I box every day, and I kick, and I do everything. I spend like 25 minutes on the heavy bag every day. That's my like warm up training. And Mafia and I have done karate together. Mafia has done a lot more than I have. I don't particularly enjoy being kicked and punched in the face. I'm not really like, I was coming to work with like shiners and fat lips and like, you know, swollen face, noses and things of this nature. Mafia was kicking me across the room. I'd fly and smash into the wall, and I'd be like, I'm not sure I'm enjoying this that much. But I really love boxing. I think it's great that you train in boxing. I remember Bonner for sure. Mafia and I know who that is. I think that's really cool. I didn't know you did that. I do that too every day. I do it every Monday through Friday. I box. I love it. I think it's the best cardio ever. All right, let me throw a few games at you, Matt. See what you think.
Sure.
I don't even care about all of tonight's games because they're kind of over. I know South Florida burned you. You said something about that earlier. Yeah. Wisconsin kicked Illinois' ass. That freshman went off. Yep. He threw for like, I mean, he was literally like perfect. I don't think he threw an incompletion the whole game. UAB blew a 20-10 lead and lost that game to Louisiana 24-20. So let's talk about tomorrow. Just some big games. I don't have a lot of time, so we'll fly through them. Notre Dame and Pitt, it's Notre Dame laying 10.
I think it's the Irish. I mean, I think the way they're playing right now, Pitt's got issues with their quarterback and injuries. I'm taking Notre Dame there.
Clemson laying 46 to Cuse.
Forget it. I mean, that's minus 100,000 on the money line. I mean, are you kidding me? You can't even, I mean, that's just a game you can't. If I was going to bet it, you bet Syracuse just for the hell of it. And you hope that, you know, they don't do it again, what they did to Georgia Tech last week when they laid 70 on them. So if I had to take it, I'd take Syracuse. But
do you think Ohio State can cover the wood against Nebraska? It's 27.
I think the first half number is better. It's 15.5. I think they come out like that gangbusters, and they might take the foot off the gas. But Adrian Martinez is not a good quarterback. Nebraska's got problems.
NC State getting 14.5 at North Carolina in a rivalry game.
Yeah, rivalry game, right, in the ACC, but I think that offense for North Carolina gets it done. I think that they're playing really well. Mack Brown, they're not a top 10 team, but they're pretty good.
Yeah, some of these other ones I just don't care about. Kansas, Kansas State. Auburn, Ole Miss. Auburn laying 3.5 at Oxford.
What's up with Bo Nix, huh? Bo Nix has gone backwards. Gone backwards
yeah.
fast. I like what Ole Miss is doing. I'll take Ole Miss on that one.
I think Bo Nix lost his mind last week in Columbia against South Carolina. I thought he acted like a tool and was very immature. And I thought he was, you know, getting into it, talking smack. And I just thought he was an idiot. I don't know what's happened to him either. I noticed the same thing you did. Oklahoma, TCU, Oklahoma's laying 7 in Fort Worth.
I'm going Oklahoma on that. They got to get their ship righted here. I mean, TCU is okay, but Oklahoma's got to figure out their quarterback position. Might be the weekend, the week for them to do it.
Florida State, Louisville. Florida State beat North Carolina last week. You think they can upset Louisville on the road?
I do not. I think this is a massive bounce. This is one of those, like, you know, a team that comes off a monster, come from behind victory. You fade them the next week because they're probably going to have a big letdown.
Alabama's at Knoxville, laying 21 and a hook.
First half, Alabama is the play in that game. I don't want to go near the second half, but I think Bama comes out and steamrolls Tennessee. Their quarterback is horrible. I mean, my goodness gracious. That game used to mean something. I covered Bama for a bunch of years in the SEC. The third Saturday in October used to mean something. It used to be a big game in college football. Now it's nothing because the Volunteers are nothing. So Bama in the first half.
Penn State at Indiana laying 6.5.
I think Penn State's the play there. Everyone's telling me I'm wrong about that, but I like Penn State in that one. I mean, I know we haven't seen these Big Ten team play yet, but I like Penn State there.
How about Michigan at Minnesota, and Michigan's laying 3?
This is one of my favorite bets. I got it at 3.5. Give me the Gophers. I think Michigan's going to have I don't know how good Michigan's going to be this year. I like row the boat, man. Plus 3.5. I'll pick Minnesota.
I'm with you there. Virginia at Miami. Virginia getting 13.5 at the Hard Rock.
That's tough. I think Miami's going to – the Miami's the side there. It's a little heavy, though, so I don't hate a play on Virginia there. It's not a play for me, but if I was going to bet it, I would take Miami.
Where is the – I got like 30 seconds. Where's your favorite place to watch the games in Vegas? I lived there for a long time. I've been to – where?
It will be Circa when it opens up on Tuesday. It's a three-story sports book. It's the biggest sports book in the world, so that will be
– yeah,
the
that's
– right now it's the Wednesday.
Yeah, Derek Stevens is going to be – that's going to be the best sportsbook in the world. We went to Legacy's. I like that place, too, that stadium, yep. Legacy's. I enjoyed watching football in there. That place is pretty cool, too. Hey, Matt,
that's
great stuff. Keep killing it on sports, Matt. All right, brother, you're doing a great job. It's great having you on the show. We'll get you on the TV side soon.
Sounds great, man. Thanks for the time. Really appreciate it.
All right, have a great weekend. Matt Perrault, everybody, great job. You got the number. Call in. We're still raging here on the bench. All right, Pharrell on the bench. I was just watching some highlights of Tiger Woods today playing at Sherwood in Lipstick City. And he was, you know, terrible on Thursday. And then Friday, he certainly played a lot better. And I don't know exactly what he finished at, but I know he chopped a lot of those bad strokes off his score and got a lot of it back. So I don't know if he, you know, I'm not digging for scores. I don't even care who wins that Zuzu. All I know is he looked like he was really on today. He was hitting some shots right at the stick all day long. I mean, my God, he had it going today. And he was making putts. I'm like sitting here watching. He was 6 under today, and he's 2 under for the tournament. The problem is everybody else is so deep ahead of him. He's like 66th at this tournament that he won last year, but it was overseas last year. It was in Asia, and now it's in LA. I think it was they played it over there last year because of the COVID or whatever else was going on. So anyway, I don't care really. I want to watch the Masters. I'm cool with that, but all these other stupid tournaments they play right now, I could care less. You can have it. I have to ask Mafia now about tomorrow in Ferrella Dabi, Fight Island. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. The stacked pay-per-view card with Habib and Gaethje, the war that they're going to have. And I saw an interview today where Habib was with our friend Megan O'Leary from the UFC, and he flat out said he's going to submit him, and that'll be that. And so how do you think it plays out? Like, are you excited about the card? Are you excited about this fight? Do you think Gaethje has a shot, I mean, to knock him out? I mean, I think that's pretty much his only hope, isn't it?
Yeah, his only hope is definitely to inflict damage. And if you believe Khabib, well, then go on FanDuel, because they got the super prop that boosts up that he's going to win by submission. So if he's calling that, if that's what he's aiming for, why not throw some money on that, a plus money? And the other one is the super prop is that Gaethje gets a knockout. So it's depending on how you feel about it. The way I look at it is, you know, Gaethje's got great fists. He's got great wrestling, all that stuff. But it's just another situation where you have an incredibly dominant champion. The guy is, you know, the second best pound for pound right now in the UFC rankings. And if they tell you that, well, he's just going to kick this guy's ass, you're not going to watch. So they're not going to do that. They're going to talk about how great Gaethje is. They're going to talk about, you know, how he could be the one to dethrone him. They're going to talk about his chances and, you know, try to pick all these ways that he's going to win. And I'm just approaching it where don't overthink it. You know, just look at it straight up. What do I think? You know, first reaction, and my first reaction is Khabib can't be stopped right now. You know, Gaethje might be good wrestling, but it doesn't matter. You don't have to stop 1, 4, 5, 10 takedowns. You have to stop every takedown for this guy, because he's just going to keep coming. He's not going to be deterred. He's not going to change his style of fighting if you stop a couple takedowns. He's going to keep coming at you until he gets you down, until he throws you on that mat, until he just pummels you down and either gets the finish by TKO or, you know, chokes you out from there. And that's the way he fights, and that's the way he does it. And I just don't think Gaethje is good enough to stop that for 5 rounds. I mean, at this point, I don't think anybody is.
So there's other fights, like I see all these people have interest in that Oliveira Rachmaninoff fight. Are you into that fight at all, that welterweight fight?
That'll be an interesting fight. I'll watch that because I like Oliveira. He's always an exciting fighter, but that's not one that I think is, you know, huge for a division or huge for contenders like, you know, you have with Whitaker and Cannonier, or, you know, guys trying to rebound and get back up into the mix like you have with Volkov and Harris. That's not one of those fights, the, you know, the Oliveira fight, where it's like, oh, well, you know, this could be a very big fight. It could be an exciting fight, but, you know, if I miss it, that's nothing in the world either.
So you on Volkov and Whitaker in those fights?
Yeah, I like Volkov and Whitaker in that one. I think, you know, again, the book's trying to kind of bait you with Cannonier being a favorite in that, just like they did last week with Korean Zombie. I mean, they tricked me on that one. I'm not biting twice in a row. So, I mean, Whitaker is a guy who won 9 fights in a row. Beat Yoel Romero not once but twice in a row when everyone else was ducking this guy. He fought him twice when he had the belt. He could have ducked him, tried to fight someone else. He didn't. Took the challenge, beat him convincingly. And, you know, yeah, he lost Adesanya. Who doesn't? Paulo Costa thought he was unbeatable until he went and fought Adesanya and got to make, you know, look like a punk. So that's just the way everyone goes right now. It's the same thing as, you know, Khabib, where everyone looks great until they fight this guy. There's a reason he's a champ. There's a reason he's dominating. So Adesanya's doing the same thing in middleweight. So Whitaker rebounded with that win against Till. He looked good. He kept his distance, you know, got the strikes he needed. And I think that he's going to do the same thing here against Cannonier to avoid that big power. Might even mix in some wrestling. And then Volkov with Harris. The thing with Harris is he's got the big bombs. He's got the, you know, the shots to try to knock you out like a lot of heavyweights do. And like most heavyweights, if he doesn't do that, he really is kind of screwed. And he has a bad gas tank and will, you know, not be good by the time you get to the third round. I think Volkov is smart enough. The guy's fought 39 pro fights. I mean, that's not even counting all the ones he probably fought amateur-wise. He knows what he's doing at 6'7 with that reach, that he's going to stay on the outside and try to pick him apart and not get caught again in the last 10 seconds like he did against Derek Lewis a couple fights ago. I think he's going to go, you know, try to go the distance and win it by points.
So let me ask you about the NFL now. I just want to get your opinion on some of these games, because everybody else has been giving me all their opinions, and whether it was Adam Kaplan or even Matt, or I guess Matt did college with us, but I've talked with everybody all week about the pro games as well. I want to see what you think of these games. The Steeler game with the Titans, what do you think is going to happen in that game after it's all said and done?
I mean, I like the way the Steelers are playing. They're playing great against, you know, tough teams the last couple of weeks. But I like what, you know, Matt pointed out. What you said is that losing Devin Bush is a huge disadvantage to that defense. In certain situations, you can mask that. You know, if you got more of a passing team, then sure, that secondary is good enough to hide that. But when you have a team like Titans who are going to just run it down your throat with Henry as much as they can. Sure, they don't have Lewin, so that's going to hurt them a little bit, but their game plan isn't to, you know, sit back and pass block and try to beat you deep. They're going to pound it down your throat, and then when you put eight or nine in the box, that's when they throw the ball. So I think it's going to be a close game and a tight game either way, but I'm leaning towards the Titans, especially when, you know, a guy like you who loves the Steelers, who bleeds black and gold, is saying that he doesn't believe in them to win this game.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, it's a business decision for me, not so much about heart or anything like that. The other big games, that Sunday night game, the Seattle Arizona game, Seattle's laying 3.5. They didn't get Antonio Brown. They're undefeated. Arizona's coming off a great win over Dallas. They kicked their ass. What do you think Arizona will do with Seattle?
I think this is definitely a close game. I think that's, you know, one where it's going to be back and forth. I don't think either of these defenses is that good right now. I know Seattle's defense has definitely given up a lot of points. It's been shootouts every time. I know there's some good pieces to that defense for Arizona, but they have some injuries there. You know, they lost Jones. That's a big piece for them on the pass rush. I think it's going to be a very back and forth game, shootout game, where it's kind of whoever gets the ball last might be the one who wins this, and we could be, you know, have it within a touchdown and be like a 3 or 4 point win.
What do you think Le'Veon Bell's going to do with the Chiefs in his first game against the Broncos in Denver? Denver's getting 8.
I don't think he's going to do much. I'm not expecting him to come out and take over. I mean, he's going to be the backup in that backfield. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has done a great job there. The guy is multifaceted. You know, he's the same kind of thing as Le'Veon Bell has been throughout his career. So I think he's in there more of to spell, you know, CEH, and try to make sure he, you know, they don't put too much on this kid too early and wear him down. He'll get some yards, he'll get some carries, he'll get some passes. But a big thing you got to watch out here is they're talking about, I know you had a clip that we didn't use on the show today, but Fangio talking about how they might even have snow for that game. So we'll see. It might be a situation where they just run the ball a lot because of the weather, you know, being a factor in that. So we'll see. He might get some good yards. You know, watch that weather report. And if it's a bad, you know, snowy weather situation, they might not be able to throw it as much with Mahomes. And then you might lean on both running backs more.
I hope it snows. I would love to see them play that game in the snow, and that it would make it a better game for Denver to be in that game, I think. The other big games are like the Bucs and Raiders. They move that to the afternoon in Vegas. Tampa's laying 4.5. And then the Packers, Texans, that's an early game, 1 o'clock. What do you think the Bucs will do in Vegas and the Packers will do in Houston?
I think the Bucs will roll in Vegas. I know they'll probably get a lot of that line back, but if they're even missing, you know, another one or two of those guys, you already have one in Brown on the COVID list. He's definitely not going to play. The rest of those guys haven't practiced all week. I'm sure that helps them get back from injuries. But after what we saw, the defense for Tampa Bay to Green Bay, who looked like they were just going to, you know, roll through, not roll through every team, obviously, because it's so hard to go undefeated in the NFL, but who were just lighting everybody up, and then they get completely shut down after they get those first 10 points and look pretty pedestrian. I think they're going to go to Vegas, even though they got to make the trip out there, and they're going to be all over Derek Carr in this game because those guys, you know, might be a little off. And if you're missing one or two of them, it's going to be a big, you know, problem for the Raiders. I think that's going to be an issue with the COVID for them, and that Tampa's going to recover that 4.5.
And Packers?
Packers, I think they get back in it. You know, I know that it's going to be in Houston. I know Houston looked good against Tennessee, but Tennessee has let a lot of teams hang in this. As good as their, you know, run game is, and as good as their defense is supposed to be, they've given up way too many points to way too many teams. Like, they're really bad at covering this year and doing what they're supposed to do in these games. So I'm going to take with what Houston did with a grain of salt there. I think Green Bay is going to come out here and be, you know, pissed off. I think they know that they got embarrassed and they need to put a statement out here to show that they still are one of the top teams in the NFC. And that being only a 3-point spread, I like Green Bay to win that and cover.
And then your boy Darnold's going to be back for the Jets. Can they hang with that 10 or 11? What I've seen it move so many times against the Bills. What do you think Darnold will do against Buffalo?
Yeah, it's in a 10.5 right now, which is, you know, obviously a little suspect. They're trying to draw you in. I think they're trying to sucker you because that's what it ended at the first game, where it was 27-17 that the Jets were getting their butts kicked the whole game and all of a sudden score a garbage time touchdown and are win, you know, they lose by 10. So they're trying to sucker you in saying, hey, it was only a 10-point game last time, giving you that extra hook to try to bait you into bet on the Jets. And I don't care if I'm a Jets fan and I bleed green, I'm not betting on them on any game this year. They haven't covered a single spread this year. When they play Kansas City, I think next week, it's probably going to be, I think it opened at like a 22-point spread, and I'd still bet Kansas City because I don't care how ridiculous it is. The Jets are just terrible and they can't cover anything. Crowder's the only guy that's doing anything, you know, remotely good on offense. Their defense is getting lit up by absolutely everybody. They're going to get smoked in this game. I don't care how many guys are injured or out for the Buffalo. They're still going to kill them.
Well, I'm watching that old clip of when Conor fought Habib. They're showing it again where when the fight was over, they, all hell broke loose and he jumped over the fence and started attacking people. And then McGregor was in the cage fighting with people. And just there was so much violence and chaos after that fight. It was just unbelievable.
I was in AC for that one, watching that in the sports book. It was fun.
Yeah, it wasn't a good look for the UFC, though, I'll tell you that much. Walker Buehler did it all tonight. 10 strikeouts. They win 6-2, the Dodgers. They're two wins shy of their first world championship since 1988. It's taken forever. They kicked the Rays' ass tonight. Rosarena hit his 8th home run in the playoffs. That, I think, ties a record all time. I think Mafia said with Bonds. And somebody else. And who?
Carlos Beltran, when he was with had that six postseason with Houston, where he had 8 home runs, and I think Nelson Cruz also did it with the Rangers, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, there you go. So Rosarena hit one late, but it was still 6-2. So tomorrow they play again. They're actually playing Saturday and Sunday. So if the Dodgers win out the weekend, it'll be over Sunday. They're up 2-1 now. Urias will pitch for them tomorrow in game 4. And so Walker Buehler was lights out, striking everybody out, 10 Ks, had it all going. Charlie Morton got lit up. So that didn't look good at all. I would seriously have reservations about betting on Charlie Morton again against the Dodgers the way they hit him tonight. They saw that ball like a beach ball. I mean, they were just stroking home runs, doubles into the corners. Every guy got a hit. Everybody got on base. Betts was on base, terrorizing them. Big win for the Dodgers. They're 2 away from a world championship. You just kind of know they're going to get it done, don't you? We'll try to catch up with Morency next. All right, so there's other games. The Niners and Patriots. Garoppolo goes back to Foxborough. Pats are laying 2.5 there. That's a afternoon game, 4:25 East. Lions, Falcons at 1 in Hot Town. Mercedes, Atlanta laying 2.5. The Lions are 2-3. Falcons are 1-5. The Browns, Bengals, they played once. Remember, the Bengals backdoored them. Browns won the game, but they're playing again, this time in the jungle. Cleveland laying 3 here. Browns 4-2. Bengals 1-4-1. Burrow's gotten hit more than any quarterback in the league. Panthers, Saints on Bourbon Street. New Orleans laying 7 to Teddy Bridgewater. He played with the Saints. Now he's the Panthers quarterback. They're surprisingly 3-3, if you ask me. Everybody said that Matt Rhule was going to be the worst team in the league this year, and he's anything but. He's far from it. And they're getting a 7 spot, and there's no Michael Thomas. There's no Emmanuel Sanders. They have injury problems and COVID problems, the Saints. So, you know, I think it opens the door, at the very least, for the Panthers to make that a game, doesn't it? And then you got Cowboys and Washington in D.C. Dallas laying 1 there. The Cowboys' defense is pathetic. They're 2-4, allowing 36 points a game. Jags and Chargers in Lipstick City. That's a 4:25 East start at SoFi. Chargers laying 7.5. And then we'll be live on Monday, 4 o'clock on Coast to Coast. And then 10 o'clock East, 7 West for Pharrell and a Bench on the radio side. Monday night for Bears-Rams, also at SoFi in Lipstick City. Rams are laying 6 there. So tons of games. We'll see if everything works out with the Raiders with their COVID situation and all these teams. We'll see how Saturday goes with college football all day. The Big Ten is back. Tons of games. Michigan, Minnesota. You got UFC 254, Gaethje, and Habib. It doesn't get any better than that. Go to PharrellOnTheBench.com for all the snacks. Have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday on Coast to Coast. Good night.
It's been 30 years since the first episode of Beverly Hills 90210. 30 years since we walked the halls of West Beverly High and since we all hung out at the Peach Pit. Relive it all with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling on their new podcast, 90210MG.
We get to tell the fans all of the behind-the-scenes stories that actually happened.
Join them as they rewatch every episode of the beloved 90s TV show from the very beginning. Listen to 90210MG on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Modo, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Modo, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Modo Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Modo Casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.